everybody. Welcome back to the Orange Kids Podcast, where we talk about the big ideas of kids ministry and discuss practical solutions to our week-to-week challenges. I'm Mike, and as always, I am joined today on the podcast by Kellen.
What up, friendos?
Friendos. And Gina.
How are we?
We're doing well. We are well. We're in the middle of the summer, and today I thought it'd be cool to talk about what's coming up beyond the summer, which is fall. And for, depending on where you're listening to this podcast in the country, fall starts either the beginning of August. Or for other friends in other parts of the country, it starts in September. Or if you're listening to this in Australia, then it starts in February.
So we're a long way.
Sorry.
We're just giving our Australian friends a lot more lead time.
We're doing our best. Yes, that's right. You got plenty of time to put all this into practice today. But we want to talk about the fall because we know, you know, the summertime is not the time where everything just kind of dies down and you can relax in the summer as a kidmen leader It's just like chilling. No. That's far from the truth, right?
I mean, in
the
summertime,
we've got summer camps.
Yep. Camps.
We got VBS.
VBS.
You've got, you know, thank you for echoing everything, Kelly.
I got you. I'm your hype man today.
We've got your own personal stuff going on, vacation.
Right. Yeah,
you've got
volunteers
traveling. So like volunteers are in and out. You're trying to fill holes. You got activities going on. And oh, by the way, you have the launch of the big fall initiative. Like it's the start of your ministry year. So you want to make sure you start off on the right foot. You want to make sure that you start off with your volunteers trained and equipped to do the best that they can do. Like you want to make sure it goes well. Problem is, as we've talked about in several episodes, you're so busy working in your ministry that you oftentimes don't get an opportunity to step out and work on your ministry. Mm-hmm. And the fall is one of those things that you want to make sure that you step aside, spend some time, whether it's a few hours or a day, to spend some time on how can we make sure that our fall is a success. So
it's true.
We are thrilled to be joined by somebody who's going to help us talk about some ways that we can be best prepared for the fall today. And Alston is here. Alston Causey. Hi, Alston.
Hello, Mike. Thanks for having me. I guess it's the afternoon now, not the morning anymore.
It is the afternoon. It is the afternoon we're recording this podcast. That's right. So Alston is the Upstreet Director at Gwinnett Church. And Gwinnett Church is one church, two locations. What does that mean?
That's right. We've just launched our second campus. So when you talk about like a shortage of volunteers, I know exactly what you mean.
Yes.
So we are two campuses now. We've got one in Buford, Georgia, and then one in the Hamilton Mill area. It's about 20 minutes away from the Buford campus. So we're testing out this thing of being a campus of North Point Ministries, but launching a sub-campus in a way. So just trying a lot of things different, trying a lot of different models. And
I love that.
We love to experiment over there.
You're the only campus of the North Point Ministry campuses to start a campus. Sub-campus. Yeah. So this is a big experiment, not just for Gwinnett Church, but for North Point Ministries as a whole, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, it's been a really unique journey. We've learned a lot from a ton of great people, a ton of great churches. Southside Church is a partner church of ours. They do two campuses as well. I think they just launched their third.
Got it.
And then we're just learning from everybody we can, trying to figure out, which is what I love about Christianity. We're all in this for the same win.
Yep.
You know? That's good.
Yep. So we are here to learn from you, Alston, to learn from all of us, to hopefully help our falls start off on the right foot. So when it comes to the fall, obviously you heard what we just said earlier as far as like, you know we should be putting a lot of time and effort into the fall, but there's the reality of the summer and we're just recovering from the previous year. So there's a lot going on mentally, but what are some things that you would say that our listeners could kind of take in today to kind of say, hey, depending on whether you're just starting to plan for the fall, because right now at the release of this podcast, it's in July. And so fall, if you're starting in August, is staring you right. I mean, it's right in front of you, right? Yeah. So if you're just starting, there's obviously going to be a challenge with that. Maybe they're midway through their process of that, or maybe they're at the tail end. They just want to kind of, this will be a great opportunity to kind of pull off to the side and just do a quick check to say, yep, everything they talked about, we're good to go. For those of our friends who are starting in September, again, they got some more time, but again, you know, time, it's gone just like that, right?
Exactly.
So what are some things that you would say that our listeners should be paying attention to as they are starting to plan or are in the process of finalizing their plans for the fall season to make sure they start off on the right foot?
Man, I just think it's important not to give up hope, because sometimes it can feel like there's not any time. And so instantly you're like, well, there's no time, I shouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And so my hope would be that even if you can do one of these things as you're getting ready for the fall, that would just set you up for a better experience throughout the rest of the year. So I've got five things I think would make the beginning of the school year a great success for anybody. And like I said, if you do one of those five things, I think you're set up well. But if you could do all five of these or delegate some of these things to your team.
Sure.
That would really help you have a great fall, great launch to the ministry season. And the first one, I think this is an obvious one for anybody listening in kids ministry, is that you probably don't have all the volunteers you need to start off the school year.
What?
I know, never happens.
Gina does not have that problem.
Gina, all the volunteers I need. Plus a waiting list.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's overstaffed.
Not at all.
She's like, I've got to start churches
yes.
to accommodate
from
all
the volunteers that I have that are signing up to serve in kids ministry. Yeah, and if you believe that.
Right. I mean, wouldn't that be the dream? My dream is to have a waiting list of volunteers.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing? I
yes.
feel like that's when you just check off and you're like, you know what? I think I'm out of kids ministry
what
now
because
I found
like?
My waiting list.
Yeah.
And when I hear people say that, and I don't hear many people say that, like I've got plenty of volunteers, I'm like, I think you're lying.
I don't believe you. I don't
see how that's true, but okay.
Well, maybe you don't believe in small groups. You're like, we got all the volunteers we need. We have 5 people watching 400 kids.
Yes,
right. We're fine. Is,
yeah,
yes.
And it's great. It's awesome. Have you been in that room lately?
Yes.
I don't think it's awesome.
So if you're like our church, I mean, we are still looking for volunteers June and July,
yeah.
sometimes even the first couple weeks of August, depending
Absolutely.
On when you're We call it Promotion Sunday, whenever that is for you. Mm-hmm. So I just thought of, man, if I was going to do something quick to find some more volunteers, I think one of the easiest things you can do, and you guys talk about this all the time, but it's great leaders know other great leaders.
Yeah.
Yep. And this is a perfect time to go, guys, I'm just being real with you. We've got 10 opportunities left this fall. And if 10 of you could think about who's that friend in your life, who's that one person that you would love to serve alongside on a Sunday morning. Think about them, and here's what I need you to do. I need you to go ask them if they'd be willing to come and talk to one of the people on our team. We'll make their orientation great. We'll get them through the process. All you need to do is introduce them to us, and we will get them plugged in, because sometimes just being real about the number you need can really make it more realistic for your volunteers that are with you.
Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, and I like that aspect of, again, like attracts like.
Right.
And so it's leaning into your committed leaders, leading into your key leaders, and just to say, hey, like you said, real moment here, kind of, you know, this is where we're at, this is what we need, and I need you guys to help fill in the gap here to do that. And I think that can do wonders. You may find some of your best leaders that way.
You really can. And I think some practical things to look at when you're to take that step is, number one, you've got to know your need.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yes.
the fact that you're able to go to your existing team and say, we have 10 more spots that we still need to fill. What that says is, I've done my homework.
Yep.
And I know what we're anticipating. I know what is coming down the road.
Yep.
And we need 10 more leaders in order to be able to lead well and steward what God's going to bring. So just knowing that, because I think if we're honest, sometimes as a ministry leader, we can say, I need more, but we've really not defined what that need is yet. And so it's important to do our homework there.
And it's as specific as you can be about your
Absolutely.
Need. Like, I need 10 more. Well, I need 5 small group leaders.
Right.
I need a large group storyteller.
Yeah.
I need 2 guest service people. I need, you know, like just doing that helps it get like, okay, wow. You've done your homework, like you're just good to go.
And we know where. I think the other thing to consider as well is if you say to your leaders, who would you love to serve alongside, right?
Yeah.
Who would you invite to be a part of this? And if there's hesitancy on their part, there's an opportunity to ask some questions around, why would you not want to invite one of your friends to serve in your ministry? Because it could be that you might discover something about your
That's
ministry that other people don't want to, that your volunteers don't want to invite other people to be a part of.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And if you can drill down and maybe address that, fix that, make that better, then you're making your ministry more appealing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want to be a part of it more. So
that's good.
Yeah, that's
random
great.
Thoughts.
That's great.
Yeah, we've always said we wanted our culture of volunteering to be remarkable, that people would be, it'd be worthy of remarking to your friends about.
Oh, that's good.
And if your culture's not that, you might not be able to fix that in June and July, but there are some things that you can do, like tiny moments that you can plan throughout the summer, and especially that first Sunday, just to show them, hey, it's not really about what we want from you, it's about what we want for you as volunteers.
Yeah.
And when you show them that you're for
that's
them,
good.
They're willing to bring along their friends because they want other people to know about it. It's like if you knew about the best cure for some disease, you would tell other people about it.
Right.
And so if they knew, hey, volunteering, it makes my life better, who's not going to tell their friends about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking about, I know that we had an off mic conversation earlier, but it seems to lead in well to, you know, onboarding.
Right.
How do you create a great onboarding process?
Yeah, that's a great question.
And
I think you might be in the middle of it by the summertime, but if you're not, it's a great opportunity to really think about your onboarding process. Mm-hmm. And are you serving them well, or are you just plugging them in because you know you've got that hole to fill?
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, we really need a small group leader there. I know I should train you, but I'm just going to put you there. Mm-hmm. That is never a win for a volunteer.
Right. It's true.
Yeah. And they may fill that hole for a couple of weeks, but when they don't know how to win in that role, when they don't know the vision for that role, they're going to stop serving before long. And so what we've tried to be really intentional about, and even though it can slow us down sometimes, is just to have an intentional onboarding process. So hopefully at this point, and maybe even if you're in the middle of July, maybe you can still have time for this, but we try to get them to an orientation. We let them check out the roles they're interested in. And then the last step before they are like on the carpet circle is a training. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're getting ready for August, this is one of the things that I would do. And you can do this on day one of that. Whenever school starts back, I would do this, is that just to help them remember, yeah, it's going to be crazy. Yeah, there's all these things that are going to be wins about this, but you are beginning as a volunteer today, or you're beginning another year as a volunteer today. So what can you do moment-wise to help that moment be memorable? Mm. So one of the things we do at the end of our training is we just call it the confetti moment. No volunteer knows this is happening.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a little surprise. You know?
I love that. Anytime you bring confetti into it, right?
But we want them to know we are excited about them becoming volunteers. And so at the end of the process, we just say, hey, congratulations, you are officially an Upstreet volunteer. And then we pop confetti guns or confetti poppers, and the whole room just goes crazy because who doesn't love confetti?
Yeah.
And then that moment of when I became a volunteer, it felt like a party. Like that is a huge win for your volunteer. So whether you do that at the end of your training process, or if you just think, I'm going to be really intentional about our first Sunday, kicking it off in a big way, not just for the kids, but for our volunteers too.
Yep. No, that's great.
I'm totally stealing that.
Yeah, you should, as you should. All right. So you talked about getting your remaining volunteers however you can for step one, getting ready for the fall to do that. And again, I don't want to pass by this, is that when we're short volunteers, whatever the gap is, we either can ignore it like it's not there, or we can go into the begging and pleading session from stage or from whatever. And I would just like, please
don't
do not do that.
Right.
You devalue your ministry when you do that. I know the desperation and the need is real, but that doesn't mean you, like, I love going the personal route through our current volunteers. And even when you do that, you still may not fill all the gaps, right? Yeah. Like it doesn't magically happen.
Right.
And that's okay. You're going to move on with what you have to do that, and trusting that God is going to bring the right person in the right time to do
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
So that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, what you got?
All right. So number two, I would say, is to help them love volunteering. So this is the perfect time to think ahead.
Okay.
It's not crazy during the summer, but it's not as crazy as it's going to be once school starts.
Yep.
So I would just set aside, even if it's an hour, to think about what are three ways we can appreciate our volunteers, whether it's this first half of the year as we lead up to January, or if it's the whole year. A lot of times we forget to appreciate and develop our volunteers simply because we don't make time to think about it.
Yeah.
And so if you can even set aside, it doesn't have to be that long, but if you can just set aside that time just to go, hey, before fall gets here and before the crazy happens, I'm gonna think of three things I can do to specifically appreciate, develop, and just love on our volunteers. It's more likely going to happen when it comes up on the calendar rather than if you're planning it 2 weeks before.
So what are some ideas? What are three things you come up with that you would say are great ways to appreciate volunteers?
Well, we've really tried to not, it's not that we don't want to train our volunteers. We try to be really intentional about training them before they even step foot into the carpet circle, which is for us where the small group leader is, whatever role they're playing. But we try to make anything that we ask them to do a value add for them.
Oh, that's
and
good.
So whether it's coming to a training, which sometimes you just have to have them, we try to think about how can we, during this training, cast vision that this is going to make you a better volunteer, but it's also going to make you a better spouse. It's going to make you a better parent. It's going to make you a better coworker. Mm-hmm. And people just love learning about themselves. So one of the fun value adds we did this past year is we took this color profile, which you guys might have heard of, might not have. I think they just released a book called I Said This, You Heard That. And it's about which color are you? And there's all kinds of personality profiles out there. Even if you do, which Disney princess are you? People love hearing about themselves.
It's true. It's true.
I'm a Belle. So.
Yeah, I knew it. I can tell. But we took that content and we just led them through it. We let them take the test. They figured out what color they were. And then we talked about, hey, this is how it can make you a better volunteer, but mm-hmm. this is also how knowing your color makes you a better parent. This is how mm-hmm. it makes you a better spouse. And then they just kept raving about how good that training was for them. So it's not always going to be able to communicate that way, but if you can, make sure it's not just a value add for you, but a value add for them.
Yeah, that is brilliant. Really, it is an investment in them that is going to have a return on you. But at the same time, it says exactly what you said. I want more for you than I want from you.
Right. Exactly.
Gosh, and that's brilliant.
Yeah, it goes beyond the church. It goes beyond the church into their day-to-day lives and makes value not just that hour and a half they're with the kiddos, but value at the home and whatnot.
Yeah. How different would it be? We've talked about this before. How different would it be if our ministries were a place where somebody would say, their story mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. I'm a better dad, I'm a better husband, I'm a better Christ follower because I serve in Upstreet Kids.
Right. Yeah. And I think we all believe that to be true. Yeah. I think we just forget to be intentional about creating those moments that make that true.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
That's good.
But yeah, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money either. I mean, we've done things where we just put a movie on the screens, we make popcorn and we bring candy. And I mean, the average movie dinner or movie date night for a family can cost upwards of $100. And so if you just create that forum, invite all your volunteers, this exclusive event, like that doesn't cost you a ton of money, but it adds a ton of value to your volunteers. So even if that was the only thing you planned and said, hey, this isn't for everybody in our church, this is exclusive to you because you're a volunteer, that communicates so much love for them and shows them how important they are. So it doesn't have to be expensive, but if you take the time and think about it, that's what's going to make it happen.
Right, right.
I love the personality test or how you can mixing that in to help you discover more about you. Mm-hmm. That's going to help you be a better version of you, which will, like you said, consequently help you be a better version of a small group leader, spouse, employee, whatever it may be. And I think a lot of times in our trainings, it's more like, here's what I can get from you to help me. And you guys just swung it the other way. And I think that's, and again, you can't always do that. It won't always line up so beautifully, but that's an example of just twisting it a little
bit.
It's
good.
No, yeah. I mean, because training them or equipping them to do what you're asking them to do, that's a big part of appreciating them, you know, but at the same time, I think you're going that extra mile. That's that swinging through when you do something that really, this can benefit you in the circle, but at the same time, this really just it's a value add to you as an individual. And I think it's brilliant.
All right. What do you got? What's next?
All right, so if that is
Gina's stealing the first two. Gina's got a list going on over here.
Keep going.
So I would say those are the first two. You've definitely got to find some more volunteers, but you've also got to plan out how you're going to appreciate them. So number three for me is we always try to gather our key volunteers. And for you, that for some people that might be coaches, but essentially what it is it's volunteers that are leading other volunteers. And you may be listening, you may be like, I don't have those. If I could recommend anything to your ministry, I would recommend finding volunteers to lead other volunteers. If you believe in the power of small groups, the same vision applies to your volunteers. They want to be known, they want to be heard, they want to be seen, they want to be understood. And so you've got to create that system of volunteers that lead other volunteers.
Absolutely.
And one of the things we do before every year is we just gather all those key leaders together and we cast some vision. It may be the same exact vision that we've said the year before, but you're re-engaging them. You're reminding them, hey, this is our compass. This is what we're aiming for. So as you're leading your teams this year, let's make sure that we don't lose sight of the importance of this.
Yeah. So it's recalibrating your leaders, making sure we're all still moving in the same direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's smart. Do you do that what does that look like? Is that based upon maybe the phase in which they're serving or do you, the areas that they serve, or do you bring all those leaders around the same table? What kind of, what does that look like?
So we just call it our leadership team. And so if you're a volunteer that leads other volunteers, you are part of that core. And so we may do different things throughout the year where it's just the producers or just the coaches who lead our small group leaders. But typically in July, normally the last Sunday before the big promotion Sunday, we've done all kinds of different ways. One of the most impactful ones was we just invited them all to our house. So it's about 30 volunteer leaders that lead other volunteers. We cooked dinner for them. We played games out in the yard. There was like a 5-minute talk about this is where we're going for this year. But it was just important to gather together and say,
we're just being together.
We're all in this together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to the point of the value add, one year, and I don't know that this one was as effective, so maybe this is a don't do this, but we thought, how can we make this a value add for them? And so we thought, well, let's invite all their families too. And so we threw this big party outside But I'll never forget trying to cast that vision while the kids were screaming. There was a yellow jacket at one point. It was trying to sting somebody.
Oh, boy.
So maybe that's a what not to do. And one of those examples, sometimes trying to add value, it's like, maybe you should just
you want to lost their attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the key things, again, I know you said like gathering your key volunteers mm-hmm. who are leading other volunteers, that may be an existing concept that mm-hmm. some of our listeners have, but that might be a new concept as
right.
well. And I think it's a great idea to think in that realm, because that is an expansion of your influence
yeah.
beyond, because it's like you already feel the pressure of leading your ministry area, which yeah. consists of however many volunteers you have. But if you have 30 volunteers, it's going to be very difficult for you to really invest in 30 volunteers. What you yeah. could do is you could invest in 2 to 3 volunteers who then
Absolutely.
In turn are going to oversee their own section of volunteers. Mm-hmm. And so therefore you're expanding your influence and you're expanding the vision, you're expanding your capacity without, it's like bringing on new staff. Like I love how you
right.
call them your leadership team. Like what a weight of responsibility.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, oh wow, I'm not just a volunteer, but it's like, I'm a volunteer, but oh no, I'm on the leadership team that helps set the mm-hmm. direction, the course for our ministry
yeah, right.
at Gwinnett. Like that just comes across in a different way. And I think
yeah.
that's great.
Well, and I would say the only reason we were able to open that second campus without multiplying people on our team was because of that leadership team.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that the coaches and captains and the producers, we knew that they were the ones that really, they're running the show because
yeah.
they're equipped and they're trained to do that. And so we come alongside and just try to serve them. But yeah,
yeah
if you don't have that, even if you can find one person,
sure.
like even if you're looking at August and you're like, I can't build a whole leadership team, but even
no,
if you
two.
Could find one or
person.
Two people
yeah.
Yeah.
just to come alongside you and carry that weight, that's going to be huge.
Because the truth
you.
Is when you're finding, you know, when, going back to your first point of finding your remaining volunteers and
mm-hmm.
like attracts like, well, you might have some people who come across your way who are not great small group leaders.
Right.
They're not great large group communicators, but they're great with people.
Yep.
They're just people managers, or they bring the best out of people. And so it's like, hey, they may look at you and just say, you've got no spot for me
mm-hmm.
where I can serve in kids ministry. And it's like, well, actually, no, I need somebody to help lead the volunteers
yeah.
in my kids ministry. That opens it up now
right.
to even more people to be a part. Mm. Mm. of that. And I think it's great.
It's so powerful. And to have that vision, that kind of recasting
mm-hmm.
in the fall, it's a natural rhythm. It's a natural time
right.
when
yep.
it's a new, you know, it's a new year. So it's a good time just to dial in and make sure, are we all headed in the same direction?
And yeah. The fall time is it's the clock of just our cycle, right? Like we start fresh. We start anew. School starts back into session
mm-hmm.
and the rhythm of our life, where summer's like no rhythm and chaotic
because
right. you're all over the place
all
and then
over.
Fall
yeah.
is back with classes and schedules and, you know, fall sports are back and all that stuff. And so it's a great restart for everybody, and it's a great time to restart and cast vision, because as we know, vision leaks and
yes,
it's a great opportunity.
Are there a couple of practical takeaways that you would give your team? So like a handout, a resource of
yeah.
something that you guys have done in the past, that would
yeah.
be good to kind of...
Yeah, I would say the number one thing I would give them is a roster of their team. And
oh, yeah.
give them, what we do is we make little contact cards for them, which are essentially business cards, that whenever they start, whether it's the first Sunday, sometimes we'll do a big kickoff with all the volunteers, but whenever they're first meeting that team of volunteers, that's when we want them to really show them, hey, I'm your point person. I'm your
yep.
guy or your girl. If you've got a need, you come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that really just sets up, honestly, it sets up them to be pastored better as volunteers.
Yeah.
It really does, yeah.
We encountered a situation this past Sunday where a girl was trying to get a hold of the church and the receptionist line didn't go through. And I wanted to tell her, like, that is why you have that captain there, because that is the person that you go to when things in life aren't going right, when things in life aren't lining up,
mm-hmm.
that person is there to serve you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And honestly, it helps you. It helps big churches feel small. It helps small churches feel even more personal, no matter what size you are,
mm-hmm.
it works.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's really
yeah,
good.
I love it.
I love that. So we've talked about finding your remaining volunteers, whatever that number may be. We've
yeah.
talked about planning out how you're going to help appreciate those volunteers and bringing value to them,
mm-hmm.
Gathering your key volunteers who are leading other volunteers. So what is next?
So, I mean, like we said, there's 100 things you can do, but if
sure.
you're going to be intentional and just pick 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't overwhelm yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the next thing I think you can think through, and this doesn't have to be a big thing, it can be small, but just how are you going to re-engage parents? How are you going to re-engage kids back with your ministry, back with your church. Like you said, they're not thinking about church all the time during summer vacations. Mm. And if you want to get them back in your doors, August is a great time, or whenever you start back school, it's basically become the second Easter. Mm. People will say, I'm going to come to church on Christmas. I'm going to come to church on Easter. And for some reason, they all come back when it's back to school season.
Yep.
And so how can you either re-engage them during that back to school season? One idea that is not unique to us, but just leveraging the back to school bash mentality of, hey, you're back to school. How can our church flow into that natural rhythm? So one little thing we did is we just gave them a different school supply for each Sunday in August. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't have to be expensive. It can be as cheap as pencils that have your logo on them or your church's name on them. But we said, hey, if you come every Sunday in August, you're going to get a different school supply that's going to help you get back into the school season well. And kids ate it up because they're collectors.
Yep.
They don't even need a pencil or a pencil pouch, but because it's like, oh, I have to collect the whole set.
Yep.
We were trying to establish that rhythm of, hey, get back to church every Sunday without saying, hey, come to church every Sunday in August.
Yeah. It just draws them in.
It just draws them in naturally.
That's really fun.
So whether you're going to do that or maybe even plan something really cool in September or October to build a lot of hype around, like, hey guys, we're so glad you're back. Don't forget in September, we're doing this. Or don't forget in October, we're doing this. Mm-hmm. Like get them excited about something to look forward to so that they're not just coming back for August and then dipping back out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I love those. I love those special event. I mean, the church, we go to one of the North Point campuses and the special themed days that they do here and there. I mean, like, you know, as silly as like come to church in your pajamas day. This isn't in the fall, but this is in the spring.
But they love it.
But they love it. And it's like, we're already springing forward, so we're going to lose an hour of sleep. So instead of thinking about getting dressed, just come to church. And but it's something that's so small, but my kids get hyped about it. And guess where we're at when I'd rather sleep in? When we're losing an hour of sleep, we're at church to
take
do that.
Take that, Mike.
So yeah, take that. So it's just taking that same concept and saying, what could we do leaning into? And again, it could be the give out something one time or give it out for the whole month to come back. It could be leaning into serving your community in a fun way, like do a big, you know, like there's so many possibilities. I think what the heart of what you're saying is just do something that is already built into the rhythm of they're already coming back and starting. So give them an incentive to do that, right?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
No, that's great. Okay, so find remaining volunteers, plan out how you're going to appreciate them. And again, I love what you're saying here, like, we don't have to do all of these. We're not saying do all of these. We're picking one. But I think the last one, when we were talking offline earlier, like, you know, this could be the over cliched one, but I think it's the most powerful one that, you know, is tried and true through the test of time. And that would be.
Yeah, I think it seems like the Christian throwaway answer, but I really think if you're going to do anything before the school year starts, it's praying intentionally for your ministry and just really not just, you know, oh, I'm going to pray for the first Sunday of the year, but really thinking, how can I pray that this year would be different? How can I pray that God would do immeasurably more through our ministry this year? And just being really intentional that we can do things all day long, but not forgetting why we're doing all the things. If I were me, which I am me, as I'm getting ready for August and as I'm getting ready for the school year, that's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that God would do more through us. I'm praying for my staff and my volunteers that they wouldn't just see it as serving Jesus, but they would grow closer in their relationship to Jesus through serving. We're praying for the parents because, like you guys know, I mean, this is the strategy of Orange. We are equipping them to win. And so if you're not praying for those parents consistently, then that's just going to be a different mindset for you.
It's true. Yeah, it's powerful.
And then ultimately, we pray for the kids that we serve. And the three things we pray for them are safety, that our ministries would be irresistible for them, and that they would be transformational for them. And those are the things that every Sunday or every Saturday night, those are the three things that I'm praying for. But August and July, those are such a good time to rally your people. Even if that's the only reason you rally your key leaders or your volunteers, is to say, guys, let's pray for this year. Let's pray for what's going to happen around circles this year. Let's pray for what's going to happen at homes this year. Like it is cliche. It's unfortunate that it's cliche, but it is the game changer. Yeah. And if you can pray for your ministry intentionally as you're leading up, I think it does set you up for better success.
It's really the most powerful of all the five things that you've talked about. It's the most powerful thing that we can do. The thing that as you're talking, I keep thinking about our senior pastor at Crosspoint. He will talk about prayer often, and He just said this last Sunday, actually. He was talking about how he reached a point where he was just super convicted about his prayer life. Mm. And the question that was rolling through his mind was, would I want my son to adopt my prayer life?
Mm. And that's great.
Yeah. And that brought about some change in his life. But he began with a very simple question, which is a question the disciples asked Jesus. Teach us how to pray. Mm-hmm. You know, so as you were running through that list, that's what I was thinking about is God, teach me how to pray for my volunteers. God, yeah. Teach me how to pray for my parents. Teach me how to pray for my kids, right? He is most intimately involved and he knows and sees. And so when we ask and invite him to teach us how to pray for them, then I can't imagine what God would do with that, that kind of a focused prayer.
Yeah.
You know, during that season. So how cool would it be to lead to take our key leaders, right? And even in that training or that vision casting meeting that you have, and to lead in with that we're just going to spend some time and we're going to pray, you know, and we're going to surrender this next year to him and his work and allow him to lead through us. I mean, I think I'm glad that you added in there and didn't, you could have left that off, right? And just assume that that's what we all are going to do. Yeah. We all, yeah.
Yep.
But I think it's a miss to do so. So I'm really grateful. That helps me, you know, so I'm grateful that you added that.
Well, and if I could just, I know this may be weird to do on a podcast, but if I could also just pray for anybody that's out there listening right now, because I think it's one of those things that we forget or we get trapped in this mindset of, I'm doing this alone. And I think that is a kids ministry specific challenge is that we get burnout faster than anybody else, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we're just trying to do so much and we're not making sure that we are okay in the meantime.
Yeah. Sure.
And so, I don't know if it's cool to pray on a podcast, but I'd love to just pray for anybody that's listening.
Cool. If it's not cool.
If Kellen can sing on the podcast, I think praying should be acceptable.
No, yeah. If I can sing at the end of every one of these,
we can do anything.
We can pray.
No, I love that idea and we will definitely do that. And I love, again, even what we've talked about today, if you do nothing else, and this sounds, if you do nothing else but pray, you pray through these filters of what we talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
Say, God, I've got 10 spots and I'm doing everything I can to do that. But I know to fill in the gaps, it's going to require some divine intervention.
Right.
Oh, God, I'm at my burnout point almost, and I can't grow. And this ministry is growing beyond me. I need help. Mm-hmm. And I need somebody who's going to help come shoulder the load and be a key volunteer. Even just that one, God, would you lead that person to be and do that? And I just think this gives us specific things. Or how can I be creative in the fall? God, I want to do something to engage my community, and I'm not sure what that is. Could you show me? Could you show me through whatever kind of ideas? And I just feel like the more specific you can be in your prayers, the more I think that's going to guide God to answer that prayer.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's not going to be every single prayer request you put out there, and he's not going to fill all 10, but it's just saying, God, I need help.
Yeah.
That means so much, you know, like, and, but it's like, God, I need help specifically for this. Would you help me in doing that? And I just think God will do his thing. You know?
Right.
So I appreciate all this stuff. So let's make it cool to pray on podcast. Okay.
Let's do it.
Hey. Awesome. Thanks for joining us. And this has been great, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks you guys. So thanks for everything you guys are doing out there and just encouraging. This is a community of Kidmen leaders. And that is one of those things that I think helps remind us that we're not doing this alone.
Yep.
Thank you guys for what you're doing. I'm an avid listener myself. So
there you go. All right, man. Would you pray for them?
God, I thank you for every person listening to this podcast, whether they're in their car, on the treadmill, God, or just literally packing curriculum at this moment. I pray that you would just fill them up with your presence, that you would just continue to do amazing things through them, God, and just that they would grow closer to you this year, that it wouldn't just be about how they're serving you this year, but about how they can grow closer to you in their relationship. And we lift up these 5 things that we think, this will make our fall better. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we just want to lead kids to know you. We want our volunteers to grow closer to you, God. And so I just pray for the volunteers that we're leading. I pray for the parents we're leading, for the kids we're leading. But also, I just pray for the staff members out there, God, for the people that are making it happen day in and day out. They're tired and they're out of energy. And so, God, would you just fill them up with your energy and just not let them do this in their own strength, because that is when we are going to do our best work. So thank you for this podcast. Thank you for this community of other leaders. And we lift this up to you, God, and we ask that you would bless it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Austin, thank you so much. And thank you, listeners, for hanging out with us today on the podcast. And as always, if you like what you heard and you want to hear more, make sure you hit that subscribe button. And while you're there, leave us a review. It really does help us out. So thanks for hanging out with us today. We'll see you next time on the Orange Kids podcast. And hey, Kellen.
Oh, yes.
Can you take us out with a prayerful ditty?
We're all in this together, thus saith the Lord.
All right.
Does that work?
Beautiful. Thus saith the Lord.